sometimes.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you guys ready? All right, let's go live here.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Canelo Alvarez moving up to the cruiserweight to fight for a title. But first, we're going to get started with the baddest junior featherweight in the world, Rais the Beast Aleem. He's here with his coach, Bobby. Rais, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So you ready for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm ready. You know, it's just straight countdown mode. I'm looking forward to it.
That's great, man. Coach, let me ask you a couple questions here. What does Rais have to do to be victorious this weekend?
Just be Rais, but be smart. Be a smart version of Rais. Be the version we've been working on for the last 4 years, and that's how he'll be victorious.
What is it, Coach, what is it about his style that gives people problems?
Because he comes from traditional karate, well, traditional martial arts, which is karate. His timing is different. His timing is more sporadic. It's more randomized. So the majority of boxers are kind of programmed for one direction and one timing and one style of striking. And his karate just brings a different style to boxing. That's why he's so hard to deal with.
What is it? Are you a traditional? I'm assuming you're a traditional boxing coach. When he comes to you, how is working with his style different than working like with a traditional guy who's just worked with boxing?
Well, his style, when I'm working with him, it's really not that far off because I come from martial arts too. I come from Muay Thai, kickboxing, and then I transitioned to boxing 2 years after Muay Thai. So I'm pretty much I'm a hybrid type of coach, but to deal with him, you have to really understand his footwork because he has more karate-style footwork. But we've honed it in to make it more boxing, but you never want to alleviate his complete style because that's what makes him unique. So when we do approach each other, you just have to be aware of his footwork and his timing. His timing is different from a boxer, to me, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Rais, this weekend, you're fighting Eduardo Baez. This is a pressure kind of guy. I think, if I'm being honest, I think he plays right into your hands. I really do. I think you have the right style to beat that kind of fighter. Do you have to win? Obviously, you have to win this weekend, but do you have to win impressively this weekend, or is a win enough to get you to where you want to be next?
Well, each and every time I step in the ring, I want to make a statement. You know, I'm looking to just make another statement and another statement. So winning big is an absolute must. You know, I want to dominate this fight, and it's needed for sure.
I want to ask a question to both of you guys. Since this gentleman hasn't had a ton of fights in the United States, is it hard to scout this guy? Do you guys know a ton about him?
Well, I don't know a lot about him, but you know, I've just from word of mouth and whatnot, and I've seen a little bit of tape on him. I watched his last fight. That was the only fight that I watched was his last fight. But, you know, he's a pressure fighter. If you let him put his forehead on yours, he'll do that. His record speaks for itself. He's like 20-1, you know. So he's tall. He's lanky. He's a Latino fighter. So I know he's coming to fight. It's going to make for an explosive fight. It should be very fan-friendly.
Now, when you look at his record, you know, he doesn't have a ton of knockouts. Do you kind of say to yourself or – do you get into that false sense of security, like I can go at him and take more chances because I'm not really worried about his power? How do you balance that out going into this fight?
That's what it says on paper, but I have to see what it's like when I get in there with him, you know, how he's reacting to my punches, how his punches feel to me, you know, if I'm able to walk through him, we'll see what happens, and I just have to see what happens when we get in there.
Yeah. You never know till you get in the ring who the guy really is. His records can be deceiving, obviously. Coach probably knows that too.
Yeah.
Coach, let me ask you a question. So how do you keep Rice on the straight and narrow in the sense that, like, how do you keep him from looking ahead to his next fight, which, you know, this fight could be one of those trap fights, you know, because it's one of those fights he's expected to win, probably expected to win big. How do you keep his head on straight and in the gym, and how do you keep it, you know, how do you keep him from looking ahead?
We go into each fight like it's our first fight. Well, for me, it's like it's our first fight, and I keep him grounded by, you know, I kind of keep out all like media, you know, people asking questions about, you know, what could happen in the future and what could happen now. Now it's about the task at hand. That's how I keep him grounded. And for the most part, to be honest, he really doesn't look ahead a lot. Even when I ask him about, I'll say a certain style, like I'll bring up a Fulton, I'll bring up an Abdallah, and he's like, no, we got to worry. I got to beat this guy first. So we both kind of, you know, offset each other when it comes to staying on task.
Now, Rice, you fought, when did you fight last? Was it in January, I believe?
Yeah, it was end of January.
And now it's coming into November. I know you probably want to be more active than this, but why is it so hard for them to put together fights for you? And why is it, what goes on here? I mean.
Well, my whole career has been hard to get fights. You know, it's just been hard. You know, trying to fight undefeated guys, guys with 50-50 records, whatever. It's just been hard to get fights. Especially, you know, at the level that I'm at now, I'm a high risk, pretty much no reward, especially after the WBA, you know, stripped my title, you know, so it's high risk, no reward. Like, you know, when the fight got canceled due to Figueroa getting COVID, well, it could have been saved if Fulton chose to fight me, but it's kind of a lose-lose. You have nothing to win in that scenario. So it's hard, but I just have to keep winning. I have to get, I'm rocking with the WBO now. I have to get them to mandate a fight, to order a fight.
Why did you get stripped of that title?
Well, the they're trying to clean up the division. And
oh,
stuff
to
like
get rid
that.
Of the regular titles? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You were
an
interim, right? You were the interim champion. Here's what I don't understand, and maybe you can make more sense out of it than I can. You were the interim WBA champion. You are ranked number one. I just checked the records 24 hours ago. 24 hours ago, you were ranked number one by the WBA. They want to have you fight Azat Hovhannissian to become the mandatory. Somebody want to explain why on earth you have to fight anybody to become the mandatory.
Well,
he is the mandatory, right.
I've been the mandatory for 2 years, and we've been trying to get that shot, and time again, they've denied my right for, you know, the title shot. I don't know what the hell is going on with the WBA, you know?
I don't think they know.
Then they tell me I have to win a third, then I beat him, and then what? me and my team, we're just going in another direction, you know, to the world title.
And just leaving the WBA behind, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Because, okay, so if you would have agreed to fight this guy, Hovhannissian, right? If you would have agreed to fight him, what – I mean, as far as, like, would this fight Saturday have went on, or would this have been off and then you trained for that guy? How does that work?
Well, the thing is, I'd already had this fight scheduled and on the books, you know, contract signed and stuff
right.
like that. And then they come up with a surprise fight. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I already got this fight. So after this fight, okay, like, let's make it happen. But I guess they wasn't trying to hear that. And then, you know, it got postponed due to Figueroa getting COVID. That really kind of fucked things up. But I mean, it just is what it is, you know. It's just I'm going to keep it moving. I got to keep winning, and I'm going to make it happen.
Let me ask you this, Rice. I know you're on a lot of PBC cards. Are you an Al Haymon fighter, or you have a situation similar to Boots Ennis where you kind of do fight to fight with them? I don't know if you can answer that, but I just wanted to
ask you. I am a Haymon fighter. You know, I'm a Haymon fighter.
Okay.
You know, you know, Sam Watson, Haymon, everything, yeah.
So come Saturday, like I said, if you win on Saturday and you win decisively, which we are, you know, again, even if you don't, even if you just win the fight, how Stephen Fulton and Figueroa are fighting that night, what's the chances that you get the winner of that fight?
Oh, well, that's what me and my team expect. You know, we expect nothing else. You know, we want the winner 1,000%, whether that's Fulton, whether that's Figueroa. You know, we want that shot, and we want to win it.
I mean, you guys all fight under the same banner. I mean, you guys are all pretty much fighting under PBC and Heyman and everything like that, correct? I mean, so it should be a no-brainer. It should be a pretty easy fight to make from a promotional standpoint, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy fight to make. And, you know, Team Malim, we won it, you know what I'm saying? So it just depends on everybody else. But we'll see who comes out on – I have to get through my fight, but we'll see who comes out on top. And that's what we're pushing for.
Let me ask you, who do you expect to come out on top in that fight?
Honestly, I expect Poulsen to win. I mean, you know, Figueroa, he gets hit with everything in the kitchen sink. You know, he has no defense. Poulsen doesn't have to go out there and knock him out. He just has to go out there and fight. He beats him just on points alone. Figueroa's only path to victory is he has to stop Poulsen. Kind of like he did Neary. He has to overwhelm him and just overwhelm him and stop him.
There you go. There you go. All right, guys. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you so much. Raiz, give us your social media so everybody can follow you.
You can follow me on Instagram at Raiz Salim Boxing.
All right, Coach, what about you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Bobby McRoy and at Noble Art Training.
All right. Thank you guys so much, man. We appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday, guys. I can't wait to see you guys come out victorious, man.
Could be a good card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I got to earn it. You know, this is not going to be easy fight. No. You know, people are just kind of like, you know, just saying Aline's going to win, which, hey, I appreciate that. But until I'm the face of the division, I'll always be the underdog. You know what I'm saying? So I got to earn this victory.
I think he's the face of the division right now. Nobody wants to fight him.
No, you got that style. You got a very fan friendly style, but it's a unique style.
Different.
And I think people look at it and they're saying I don't know how to deal with this dude. I think it's a challenging style. And
correct.
The thing is you're staying busy. That's the key point. You know,
and you're
getting fights, and like you seem like you're being patient about it too. You're not frustrating. Sometimes when you get frustrated, you have a hard time locking in at the task at hand. When you look too far ahead, you seem like you guys are, you know, got a plan.
Well, I'm definitely growing. You know, I'll be more polished this time around. You know, I put on a spectacular performance in January. This time will be the same. I'll just be more polished.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
look forward to it.
Good stuff,
looking
man.
Looking forward to it too, man.
All right, guys.
Good luck, man.
Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Right, be good, guys.
All right. Good deal. Oh. There we go. I lost Beeb. I lost Beeb in the fray.
You can't get rid of the star of the show.
I got Beeb lost in the fray.
Can't do that.
Very good, man. That was cool. His trainer came on and, you know, it talked about his style and everything like that. I always wondered about that because, you know, like I said, man, his when he fights, it's a completely different animal.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a very entertaining fighter to watch. I enjoy him.
Well, it makes sense to this trainer. It makes sense that this trainer fought Muay Thai as well. So, because his trainer knows him, you know what I mean. He knows that style. He knows his footwork and everything. And
him and Figueroa though would have been a
he blasts Figueroa
style match. It would have been a great style matchup.
No,
he
blasts out Figueroa.
No, it would have been a fun fight to watch though. Like Stephen Fulton, he could, you know,
Fulton's gonna run if he's in the
Fulton's
gonna run
the joint out, man.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, I think the Aline fight would have been a more fan friendly fight.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
What I mean.
Well, and I think that it's telling that Fulton didn't want to fight him. You know, I mean, I think it's telling
He said as much. Like, whenever you try to, like, be dismissive of somebody, this guy got to do this, this guy got to do that.
Then, right.
You know, that kind of tells something.
Right. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's talk about the one last night. Let's get started with ESPN Plus. Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter for the WBO welterweight championship. 10th round stoppage for Crawford. Terrence Crawford knocks out Sean Porter in the 10th to retain his WBO welterweight title. Listen, man, it was a good fight throughout, very back and forth. Crawford may have the best footwork in the game right now. The one thing I noticed in this fight is that when Sean Porter would come in and throw punches, it wasn't really Crawford moving his head to get out of the way. It was him using his feet to get out of the way. And using his feet to get out of the way and pivot and keep himself in punching position, which, I mean, if you just watch his feet in that fight, it's just amazing, man.
No.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to make one quick point. I think one thing that gets lost in it all, because he's so skilled, one element of his game that gets lost is his strength. He was actually stronger than Porter last night. And I know Mark Kriegel made a comparison with Crawford and Jeff Horn. And then Max Kellerman jumped all over him. And I think he was being taken out of context. I think what Crawford showed in that fight was how strong he was, because we saw Jeff Horn manhandle Manny Pacquiao, and Crawford more or less manhandled Jeff Horn. We thought Crawford would win the fight, but we did not think that he would win it in the way he won it against Jeff Horn. Like, he out-muscled him and just beat him up. That was like a street fight almost, you know, the way he just bossed him in there. And he did a little bit of that last night. So I think that gets lost in translation, how physically strong the guy is.
Well, one of the moments, you know, that you remember from the fight, that at least I remembered from the fight, is at one point they tied up. Crawford got underhooks on him and just drove him to the ropes like a rag doll.
That's it.
Just drove him to the ropes.
Who does that supporter?
Right. I mean, and it was easy for him to do, you know. That was one of those things that just stood out in my mind, you know, as I'm watching this. I'm like, wow, he is much stronger than Porter. I mean, this is a big one. In the 10th round, now Crawford, you know what I noticed is that when Porter would jump in, Crawford was timing that, and he was timing those counters. So when he jumped in to throw, Crawford was already there throwing a shot. Sometimes they land, obviously, sometimes they didn't. But they, you know, he was looking for that left hand. He was, you know, he was countering with rights and lefts. I mean, he was just countering them all night long, man. The 10th round came in. Crawford caught him with a counter shot that dropped him. Now, if you notice on that first knockdown, you can watch it, and you can see his feet. You can watch Porter's feet square up. They're just parallel to each other, and he just dropped. Once he got hit with that shot, boom, he's going to go down. You know, he was already squatting down a little bit when he got countered because he was jumping in. Boom, got countered. Feet were parallel. He's going to go, you know. The feet parallel is a no-no. He was dropped again moments later from a shot to the temple. Porter was really mad. He started banging on the canvas and got back up immediately. And I thought, oh, man, now he's going to come after him, and now this is going to be, you know, I think he's going to get clipped again, but they're going to go at it now. He doesn't, you know, this is going to happen. But that didn't happen, Beeb. Kenny Porter steps on the apron and waves the fight off. And, you know, before we go into Kenny Porter's comments and everything like that, I think everyone in the arena and everyone watching was completely shocked. I was completely shocked. I'm like, what is he doing? Why in the world would you stop the fight at that point? I mean, especially after he's banging on the canvas, he's really angry. He jumps right back up and he's like, you know, I want to go. I'm going to go now. And to stop the fight then? I don't know, man. Listen. Yeah, I don't get it.
At that point, he did say something very smart. He's like, you know, we were behind. So basically, after that 10-7 round that he would have gotten in round 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Porter could have won the last two rounds, and he still wouldn't have won the fight. He could have scored two knockdowns, one in each of those last rounds, and it would have been a draw. So I guess from Kenny Porter's standpoint,
Kenny Porter didn't have the scores, though.
I know, but they
could have been up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. That was it.
Well, here's
the judges
thing,
were scoring at a tight fight. I didn't have it close.
I get what you're saying, but when you see your son losing 7, 8, 9, like, you could see that.
But that's the problem, though.
You could tell you were losing. He could tell his son was losing. He knew his son was losing the fight. And even if he wasn't losing the fight, and you said the fight was close, you're getting a 3-point round. You know he's going to be up, right? So some people said they had Porter up at the time of the stoppage. I just didn't see it. I don't know. I don't want to criticize people's scorecards, because sometimes my scorecard's different from everyone else's, but the fight was close, but you got the sense that the fight was turning, especially after that. From the seventh round on, you could see the body work was hurting Porter, and you could see that Crawford was getting into his rhythm, and he was really timing Porter. He had the timing and Porter's rhythm and the attack patterns down, and he was just countering him at will at that point. So I think Kenny Porter saw all those things, and he realized that, yeah, I can let him go out there, go out in the Shield. But you have to ask yourself this. Do you think he would have finished that fight? I thought the fight was going to go the distance. You thought it was going to be a stop, but you were right. I was wrong. But at that point, did you think Porter could last those last two rounds? I don't know, because it was target practice at that time.
I don't know.
We can't say for sure. We can't say for sure. But I suspect strongly he may not have finished.
I think he would have been finished, no question. I think he would have been.
Yeah.
They had a full, what, minute and 30 in that 10th round?
Yeah.
He wasn't like coming out of that round. But you know what? I don't think he was crazy hurt. I don't think he was bad enough where he couldn't have finished the fight.
Yeah, he had his faculties about him, but I don't think his legs were
buzzed. He was buzzed, you know. But
yeah, I don't think his legs were back though.
And I'm usually a guy who says, "Hey, you know, I'm usually in favor of stopping the fight earlier rather than later." I get you. But at that point, when he got up and he's banging on the canvas and he gets up like a tiger, that's
you gotta
when you're
know,
throwing the towel.
You got to know who you're in there with too. Crawford's is a outstanding finisher. So I see where Kenny was coming from, because he's looking at it as a numbers game. We're definitely behind now. Even if he's saying to himself, even if he does win these last two rounds, which is very unlikely, it's possible, but it was very unlikely at that point, because the fight, you have to understand, like if you were watching that fight, anyone watching that fight could see like 7, 8, and 9 were, you know, the fight was turning. It was definitely turning. And Porter just didn't have any answers. So the way the fight was going, how Crawford was starting to string rounds together, and then, you know, the 3-point round, I just think he's saying to himself, like he said, it's a numbers game. We wouldn't have caught up. We would have lost anyways. So what's the sense of having him go out there and take more punishment? Just to say he won a moral victory. I'm not a big fan of moral victories. And I understand people that pay money, they want to see the fight. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't need the gladiator type setting. I'm good with a guy stopping the fight. At first, I said to myself, this looks like it was quick. But then I started saying to myself, well, you know what? He was done anyways. It was inevitable.
Do you think another trainer would have stopped that fight?
No.
Do you think he stopped it because it was his son?
Yep.
And that's my problem with it.
But not only that, though, he knew his son had one foot out the door. You know, he knew his son had his mind on other things. He may not have known for sure his son was going to announce his retirement, but he knew it was imminent. He knew it was near. He knew it was close.
Mm-hmm.
He was having fun doing his podcast. He's having fun doing his commentator gigs. He knew. He knew that his son mentally he's like in the Rocky movie, man, you know? You ain't been hungry since you won that belt. Now, obviously, you can train hard, right? You can make weight, do what you got to do, show up every day. But like you said, there was something missing. What was missing? That eye of the tiger, mm-hmm. That fire in his belly. So if you don't have the eye of the tiger and fire in your belly, and you just got knocked down twice, and this guy, the fight was turning against you, why send him back out there? Because you're gonna have to do something special. And if you don't have that eye of the tiger, that fire in your belly, how are you going to manifest something special? I understand both sides of it, but I understand Kenny's side of it more, because he knew more. Judging by all the things he said, you know, he had an inside track on Sean Porter's mental state at that particular time. So that's why he did what he did, in my opinion.
What did you have the fight scored at the time of the stoppage? I think I had it like 88. Let me see what I had.
You had it wide.
I had it very wide. Let me see if I can bring up my card here. Stop reporter.
You only gave him two rounds.
Yeah, I believe it was 88-83 is what I had at the time of the stoppage, and that didn't include the 10-7 round coming up in the 10th, you know. I think I gave Crawford two rounds. You're right, two rounds. I gave Porter two rounds, excuse me. I just thought, you know, and you know what I finally hit? You know, I'm not a big fan of Tim Bradley, and I'm not a big fan of Sean Porter, and last night I kind of figured it out why. I think because they both have that same type of style. where they kind of lead with their head, they go in, and they're kind of like trying to bull rush you. It's like, you know, they tangle you up, they try to frustrate you. They're not really they I don't like that kind of boxing, you know, where they go in there, they just try to rough you up you know what I mean? I don't like
that. Let me ask you this. Doesn't it almost look like they're fighting out of desperation? The way they just throw all caution. It's almost like a desperation, like a kamikaze type style of fighting.
And I tell you, a lot of those rounds, even the earlier round, I gave Sean Porter the first round. I thought he did well. You could give him the second round. I gave Crawford the second round. But by and large, I thought Crawford was controlling the round. I thought Porter would come out and maybe clip him with a big right hand or something like that. But by and large, Crawford was controlling those rounds, hitting them.
Listen,
you know,
I don't want to play Monday morning quarterback, but even you could see, like, even when Crawford isn't winning rounds, you could see he's preparing for the culmination, for the setup. No one gives rounds away, but once again, Crawford lets guys do what they want for a little bit so he could pick up on their attack patterns and he could find that hole. And the only way he can find that hole is by letting you be aggressive, letting him come at you, right? Or come at him, excuse me, right? And once he does that, he sees. He goes, okay, he's coming in. He's lunging. I can hit him with the left hand, right? Because he's coming in wide with the right hand. And he's coming forward, leaning face first. What am I going to do? Boom, left hand right down the middle. Boom, left hand right down the middle. That's it.
That was it. I mean, it was this whole –
Smothers himself. So what am I going to do? I'll grapple with him. And I'll punch him to the body with a free hand. These are all the things that he was just downloading in his brain.
Porter's dad at one point in the fight was telling him, hey, circle left. I need you to circle left because he's circling right and right into the power.
Right into
the power, you know. So I think he was getting good advice. I mean, Kenny Porter's a trainer. He's a very good trainer. He just, you know, I don't know what happened to him.
And here's the thing, too. Like, he fought the whole fight southpaw. It was amazing.
Yeah. That footwork really impressed me, though. I mean, he was so fast on his feet. He was just quick, man.
What'd you think of Errol Spence shaking his head and getting up and walking out? I had a conversation with Maestro. Maestro's sitting there saying he was mad at the stoppage. Why would you be emotionally invested in the fight? Like, why do you care to me, he was disappointed now because Porter got stopped. So now that's something people can use against him. Look, Crawford knocked him out. You won a split decision.
Yeah.
I think that was more of it. Like he wanted Porter to win instead of wanting Crawford to win so they could have their super fight. He wanted Porter to win so he could say, see, I'm better than this guy. Instead of go out there and fight the guy to prove you're better than him. Don't sit there and use like Sean Porter as the measuring stick. Now it's going to be used as a measuring stick if you decide, if you want to fight next, I don't know, maybe. There's no deep desire, right? There's nothing there.
He doesn't want to fight him.
The word I'm looking for is enthusiasm. He shows no enthusiasm towards Terrence Crawford.
Because it's a fight he doesn't know if he can win. That's it.
Crawford knows he can beat him.
Yeah.
I don't think Spence knows he can beat Crawford.
No.
I can't say that for sure. I suspect that. Because he's very, very dismissive and even Leonard Ellerbe. Leonard Ellerbe is like, oh, he's like trying to poo-poo the fight too.
What did he say? I didn't see what he said.
Oh, well, we're not worried about that. If it happens, it happens. Like everyone is just so dismissive of the fight. Like, so they're just so laissez-faire about the fight. They don't want to talk about it. Like, it's like taboo to talk about that fight. Like, why can't that fight happen? Chris Mannix said something ridiculous the other day. Said, Charlo Andre is the biggest fight in boxing. No, it's not. I think from a monetary standpoint, from a significant standpoint, I think Spence Crawford is the biggest fight in boxing.
Well, Bob Arum thinks that Crawford and Josh Taylor is the biggest fight in boxing. which is a big fight, no doubt, but it's not the biggest fight in boxing. The biggest, listen, the one everybody wants to see is Spence versus Crawford. That's the
top
one.
Top rank. Top rank is kicking the shit out of PBC, baby. Keep
18
talking shit
and
about
four.
Top rank.
I read that earlier.
Top rank
yeah.
is crushing PBC, baby.
It's crazy. I know Jason's in the chat. And,
they don't want to acknowledge that, but that's the facts, bro.
Jason, I know you're on hold. You're going to have to keep on hold for a little bit. So
hit that motherfucking like button, folks.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
All right, so let's talk about after the fight now, because this is kind of where it really heated up here. Kenny Porter, right after the fight, said, talking about Sean, he said that he didn't prepare like I wanted him to prepare. And that makes me say, I don't want him in that situation. He fought a great fighter. The guy is super sharp, and he's at a deficit. It's like fighting the guy blindfolded when you're at a deficit like that. I wasn't going to let that happen to him. At the press conference, Kenny Porter said, I planned on stopping it going into the fight. Already knew this. If I saw what I saw, that was my plan. No knock against Sean in terms of who he is, but as we mentioned earlier, When we thought that Errol Spence would be his last fight, I'm his father. I knew that, so I knew everything that was going to happen with him before it happened. So this was something that was coming, not to be negative towards him, but I'm his father, and I could see these things. I could see it in the training. I could see it in his movements. I could see it him looking at the clock, like, how long do we got to be here today? I can see it, and I smile because someone said I was criticized. Please criticize me. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. I love it. What kind of talk is that, man? I mean,
all that could have very well been true. But was that the time and the place to say it?
No, 100% no.
And I get sick of these people saying, oh, he's just being real. Like whenever someone says something that makes misplaced comments,
right?
They may all be true, but they don't have to be said. Some things are better left unsaid. Oh, he's only telling the truth. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But sometimes, you know, the truth can be told in a different setting. There's a time and a place to say everything, in other words.
This should have been kept behind
closed
doors.
And that was not the time and place or the situation where that should have been said, in my opinion.
It was an awful thing to say. It really was. It was an awful thing to say. Because you were just beaten, you know what I mean? You're just beaten out there. You figure your father, your coach has your back, and for him to, you know he does, but for him to dole out those kind of comments?
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah, I wasn't cool with that.
No, that was terrible, man.
And I like Kenny a lot.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Inexcusable. And I got to say this, man. Kenny's not only a great trainer, but he is a good dad. Like, you can tell him and his son have a really good relationship. You could tell, absent what was said last night, you could tell that he really, really cares for his son. And they have a great relationship. And you could just see how Sean interacts with his father, how much he respects his father and stuff like that. I gotta be honest, man. I'm envious of that because I never had that, you know. And I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing, man.
Yeah, I do too. And I, like I said, I think they're close. I think that he, really made a mistake last night. Though I really do.
Yeah.
I think he made a mistake in what he said last night. Not certainly what he did. If he wanted to stop the fight, stop the fight. But so there it is. At the press conference, Porter actually retired from boxing. He said it was going to be his last fight. And I think that's wise. I mean, it's his time. Like I said, that's all he is now is going to be. But moving forward, he'll just be a gatekeeper. He can't beat Spence. He can't beat Crawford. He wouldn't beat Boots Ennis. He wouldn't beat any of those guys. So what are you fighting for at that point? You know what I mean? Really, what are you fighting for? If you can't win a title, then why are you fighting?
He's got plenty of things to do. He can make money doing.
Makes a lot of money.
So many different
announcing things. And doing what he does. Yeah, I mean,
he's
got a gym.
Life.
Yeah,
he's set fine. For life, man.
He's fine. He'll be,
you know, you can
him.
Say what you want about the guy, but he's a very likable person. You know, I mean, he's a very nice guy. He's a family man. You really can't say anything negative about the guy. The only thing I don't like about the guy is sometimes those ties that he wears. That's not my cup of tea. But that's just my taste.
I, you know, like I said,
other than that, I don't like his, I don't like his suits, but other than that, that's the only thing I can really criticize him about.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. Like I said, I think
that...
Well,
I'm wearing a spandex shirt right now. Who the fuck am I to criticize people? <spandex shirt? laughs>
Yeah, I think that all the things with Porter was based on his style. You know what I mean? I kind of figured that out last night because that's how he fights. He just jumps in, and I don't like that. I also don't like the fact that he doesn't claim to be from Ohio either. I don't like that either. So,
He dissed you guys, man. He left you guys. He's not claiming you guys. No more.
Doesn't claim us. Doesn't claim. It couldn't even say. He doesn't even say Cleveland. Doesn't even say where he's from. It just says Northeast Ohio or something like that.
No desire.
Northwest Ohio. Yeah.
No desire to claim you guys.
Listen, man. I know Ohio runs boxing. Loves that guy. Listen, man. Turn his back, son. It's real. All right. So let's talk about the post fight press conference with Terrence Crawford. Now, he was right by Bob Arum. And I can only assume that he meant the following, that he's leaving Top Rank. He said that Bob...
That was the last fight of his contract.
Yeah, that was the last fight, and there's a lot of speculation on what he's going to do next. He said that Bob Arum could not make the Errol Spence fight with me. How's he going to make it without me? So that's telling. Not only that, who else got thrown under the bus last night, B? Teofimo Lopez got thrown under the bus as well because he wanted to fight Josh Taylor. Bob Arum knows he wants to fight Josh Taylor. So... What does he say? What does Bob Arum say? I think the biggest fight in boxing, of course, is Terrence Crawford versus Josh Taylor, which who wants to – listen, I get it. Josh Taylor's a great fighter, but he's also coming up in weight too, right? He's going to come up in weight to fight Terrence Crawford. I mean, so he's going to fight another little guy?
Yeah.
And he says,
Josh
well, that
Taylor.
Can – that can, he was like, well, that'll fill up 60,000 people in England, you know, not to mention pay-per-views and stuff. Not the same thing, son. Not the same thing. It's not the same thing as fitting in 20,000 people in Vegas. It's not the same.
Been saying that for years.
Right.
And I don't know if that crowd was sold out last night, but it looked like there was a big crowd there, man. That looked like a big crowd.
It really did. It really looked like a huge crowd there. So where do you think Crawford goes from here? Do you think he goes to the PBC?
I think he stays a free agent. I think he learned his lesson. Mm-hmm. People can sit there and say that he doesn't have the name to become a free agent. He's got a title, right? He's got a title. People are going to want to fight him. He's the best pound-for-pound fighter arguably in the world, either him or Canelo. You beat that guy, you get status.
Yeah.
You get status.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned something about Josh Taylor, another little guy. Listen, Jose Ramirez and Josh Taylor – They're not 140 pounders. They're 147, 154 pounders squeezing down to 140. Josh Taylor is a big guy. He's 5'10". Jose Ramirez is 5'10". These are big guys.
Right, but
so
they're not fighting at the big boy weight. And that's a difference. That's a
they
difference.
Should be fighting at the big boy
they
weight.
They should
so
be,
I,
but they're
I
not,
think
and
they're
that's
squeezing.
A difference.
I think they're killing themselves, both of them, to make 140, in my opinion. I think both of them are killing themselves to make 140. And when people say they want to move up in weight, it's not always about just getting the big fight. It's because they can't make weight anymore. Like Teofimo Lopez, he's busting at the seams at 135.
Yeah, he is.
Josh Taylor and Jose Ramirez, they're busting at the seams at 140.
Lopez versus Teofimo versus Josh Taylor makes a lot more sense than Crawford and Lopez or Crawford.
It's a more competitive fight.
Definitely a more competitive.
But once again. Here's my opinion on it. So Teofimo Lopez wants to go up to 140, right?
Right.
And he wants to just not fight Devin Haney. Doesn't want to fight any of those guys. Lomachenko rematch. He just wants to go up to 140 and just fight for the undisputed title. Well, Josh Taylor wants to go up and fight the best pound for pound fighter arguably in the world, right? So why is he criticizing Josh Taylor? Oh, he's running from me. When you're moving up and doing the same thing that he wants to do. So how is that any different? Now, your argument could be, well, that fight is more competitive. Would you say Josh Taylor versus Teofimo Lopez is a bigger money fight than Josh Taylor versus Terrence Crawford or about the same? We can never know, but we can speculate. Financially,
yeah.
what do you think is a bigger fight?
You
I couldn't guess. I would think that you know, Josh Taylor would probably be the A side against Teofimo Lopez, but so he'd get more money. So maybe the Teofimo Lopez could be a better, it's a more winnable fight for Josh Taylor, in my opinion, and probably a bigger money fight for Josh Taylor. So it kind of does make more sense for Josh Taylor from a, you know, from a monetary standpoint, and just from the fact that it's a more more winnable fight. But maybe he thinks he can beat Crawford too. So I mean, so in his mind, probably both fights are equally winnable because he's a fighter. He probably thinks he can always win, right? So, but if I'm managing him, I may take a look at that Teofimo Lopez fight.
Do you think the Spence Crawford fight happens next?
No,
I don't either.
Nope,
I don't either.
Nope.
I think he fights Ugas. I don't think he fights Terrence.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to fight him. He doesn't want to fight him.
Well, they're making Ugas fight some type of round robin BS tournament or something over there. I don't know what they're doing.
What?
Ugas.
What's going on with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he wants to fight Spence, but they're not letting him, the WBA. They're making him fight these mandatories, and there's going to be some type of eliminator and something like that. There's some crazy stuff going on over there. So if Spence isn't able to fight Ugas, hopefully the PBC can step in and make something happen. But I think if Spence fights Ugas, then I'll have three belts, and then it's just it would be like a mega fight. Or if Ugas would be able to fight Crawford, you know. See what happens, man. It's you know, a lot of these fights should happen, but they're not going to happen. But at the end of the day, as long as we're still getting good fights, like we got a good fight last night. We're going to get Joshua Usyk. We're probably going to get Fury White. So
we should get all those. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to the fights that we are going to get. I'm not going to complain about all these other fights. If these guys don't want to fight each other, then let them do their own thing. I'm just going to.
There's not much we can do. If they don't want to fight, you can't make them fight.
I'm tired of complaining about these guys not fighting each other and these fights not happening. I'm just going to look forward to the fights that we have in front of us because we had some good fights this year. We had some good fights this year.
718, you're live.
Eric, Big Joe, Habib, it's Maestro. Pretty
what up,
guys.
What up?
Happy Sunday, and thanks for a great show as always. So listen, I had a pretty good combo with Joe earlier, and I agree with pretty much all that I heard you guys outline at the beginning of the show. It was a good fight. Porter was competitive, but. You know, by the time the knockdowns happened, it did seem to me as if Crawford had figured him out and that the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
And, look, Kenny Porter being his father, you know, he was merciful. He stopped the fight. I was actually a little bit confused, to be honest. You know, I'm sitting here with some family members, and I told my wife and the people I was here with that I think he might have twisted his knee. Like, he looks like he's limping a little bit. Maybe that's why they stopped it. My first reaction was actually I was pretty surprised because to me when a guy slams his fist against the ground five or six times in anger, he's not really hurt. You know what I mean? So, that was my initial feeling. And then the fight was stopped. And then afterwards, it wasn't like his knee or anything like that. And then I'm starting to get more confused. And look, I don't have a problem with early stoppages when the trainer throws it in because they typically know things going into fights that we as observers don't know, obviously, because we're not there. But my issue with it was the explanation that was given and more specifically the fact that it was made so public. I mean, I wouldn't want any trainer to do that to me if I was a fighter, but if it was my father, like, that's even worse. It's I don't want to use the word betrayal, but I wasn't happy hearing that at all. And, you know, I told Joe earlier today, I almost felt it was a spiteful stoppage. I mean, it seemed like he was upset that Sean wasn't doing the things that he wanted him to do in training. You guys saw the Blood, Sweat, and Tears episodes 1 and 2 where he was, like, yelling at him and, you know, essentially saying, you got to listen to me and not do whatever you want, right? And then he pretty much said that he stopped the fight because Sean wasn't doing what he kind of wanted him to do in the ring. And that's just not a reason to stop a fight. You know, that spite is not a reason to stop a fight. You know, imagine your favorite football team. Imagine Brady's back in the day when he was a quarterback in the Patriots wasn't throwing the pass routes that Belichick wanted. So Belichick just stops the Super Bowl and tells everybody to pack up and go home. It wouldn't be allowed. I had a convo with Joe earlier today. It reminded me of a Seinfeld episode, which is a show. Don't ask me how I got into it, but I did when I was in elementary school. And you know, there's an episode where Jerry buys some clothes from a shop attendant who he feels was rude to him, and then goes to return the clothes. And when he's asked why, he's like, because of spite. And the person who's returning the clothes to in customer service is like, that's not a reason. He's like, what do you mean that's not a reason? You know, it's a good reason. And then, it reminded me of that. It didn't seem like, other than the fact that he wasn't doing what he wanted him to do, that there was any real reason to stop the fight at that point. Now, if he got up and then it seemed like he was just taking a beating or even about to get knocked out, then of course. But look, it was really, for me, the problem was A, the explanation given and kind of the time and place that it was given, as Joe said. Eric, what are your thoughts on it?
I didn't like it. I didn't like the I just didn't like what he said. I thought it should have been said. You say that stuff behind closed doors, not in front of a billion people, you know what I mean? And you don't embarrass him further. I mean, he's already embarrassed because he lost the fight. You got knocked down. That's bad enough. And then you got knocked down again, and you fight was stopped. And then all of a sudden you have your father, trainer, saying, yeah, well, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do in training. So, he didn't prepare right. So I'm not going to let him take any more punishment. What? Like, are you serious? Why would you even say that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a reason that you give as a reason to stop the fight. I mean, it sounded spiteful. It sounded like this kid wasn't doing what I wanted him to do. So, I mean, look, you guys know I'm a teacher, right? Class isn't going well. I don't know, they're not absorbing what I'm trying to teach. And I'm like, you know what, guys, it's over. School's done. I'm going home. Pack it up. But they're like, yo, sir, it's 10 a.m. I was like, yeah, it doesn't matter. You're not doing what I want you to do. It's a wrap. It's over. I mean, I've never heard of that. You know what I mean?
No.
So, look, but what I did want to talk about, too, was the undercard. You guys didn't really touch on this. Guys, for a pay-per-view undercard, that was, like, beyond subpar. You know, I tweeted out
that
during the telecast. It was like an episode of Friday Night Fights from when I was in high school. Like, wouldn't those fights have been on Friday Night Fights?
Probably, yeah.
Tuesday Night Fights
with Sean O'Grady.
Yeah, at least Tuesday Night Fight had, like, some championships on them and stuff. You know, we had some big names on there.
Butterbean versus friggin' Stephen Williams or something. Don't you worry, child. The BB's got a plan for you.
I know you got guys that listen on the West Coast, but like, for you to be staying up late and trying to stay awake and stay excited about a main event, and that's what you have to watch. I mean, these guys got to do better than that. They really do. I mean, it was not pay-per-view quality by at all. So what I wanted to ask you guys before I go, but actually I did want to disagree with something that I did hear that I agree with, which is that Porter Crawford is the biggest fight that can be made. I don't really think that's true, to be honest. I think that Fury versus Usyk or Joshua is still going to be a bigger event, a bigger fight. Than Porter.
I agree.
Than Crawford versus Spence. Personally,
I'm talking about
going to be a bigger fight. Huh?
I'm talking from a significant standpoint. I'm talking from a significant standpoint, not a monetary standpoint.
No, I'm talking from both. It's the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world. What's more significant than that? I mean, maybe I'm biased towards the heavyweight championship. I probably am. I grew up a Lennox Lewis fan, first and foremost. But, like, this is the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world. Like, what gets bigger than that? I mean, also the fact that Crawford versus Spence wouldn't even be for all of the titles. You still have Ugas out there.
No, but you know what it is? This fight's been talked about for such a long time. And also, you got two guys that are that are arguably like the two best in their division, right? And then you got two guys that are in the pound for pound and everyone's pound. I'm not a big pound for pound guy, but you got two guys like Spence is ranked number six in pound for pound, and they got Crawford like number one. So this is almost like for pound for pound. This isn't just for the best fighter in the division.
I didn't
argue
that,
be
Joe.
The best fighter.
Joe,
I think
got
it's
that.
A bigger fight.
Joe,
I think
that.
It's a bigger fight than the heavyweights because I'll give you a couple of reasons. In America, it's definitely a bigger fight. Now, Tyson Fury is well known, of course. But, again, you have an English fighter versus Alexander Usyk, who's a Ukrainian fighter. Is he Ukrainian?
Ukrainian,
right?
Ukrainian.
Yeah,
he's
Ukrainian.
A Ukrainian fighter.
Well, let me ask you.
I don't believe that's going to sell a lot. I really don't. I think if this goes on Fox, I think it does
Joe
better numbers.
Joe just said it wasn't about monetary, it was about significance. Can you guys remember the last time you saw two heavyweight champions both on multiple pound for pound quote unquote lists? I can't remember that. Both Fury and Usyk both appear on all of these pound for pound lists.
That's true too, man. Yeah.
When's the last time you had a good point.
I guess what it all boils down to.
That's unheard of. I've never heard of that in all of my 38 years watching boxing. Or not 38 years watching boxing.
I guess what it all boils down to is personal preference. I think they're both good fights, and quite a few people would probably agree with you. But I just want to see this fight, Spence Crawford, because it's been dangled in front of me for so long, you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Maestro, we're going to get moving, man. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
It, man.
Thank you, guys. You guys take care. Have a good night.
All right, you
man.
Too, man. All right, let's go to Jason, then we're going to go to Robert here. So let's go to 706, 706, you're live.
Fuck Robert, I'm about to take his time tonight. Let me get some fucking time. We don't need a boring ass. And you guys are fucking acting like a bunch of sheep. You guys didn't see fucking Crawford, Porter didn't complain at all.
Real quick, shut up. Hey, Philly
shut
Drew,
up,
thank you so much. He says, I called it right. He said a 10th round KO for Crawford. There you go.
All right, yeah, thanks for the $4.99, Philly dude. And, Porter didn't complain. He said, I just disagree with that because, you know, they talked about it before the fight. If I got my ass kicked, Dad, pull the towel in because I got a fucking broadcasting career. I don't want to be fucking out here laid out flat on my fucking face. So that was the plan. That's why he didn't make a fuss about it. And that's why Kenny Porter said, I'll be at his house tomorrow eating breakfast, and they're going to be fucking counting their fucking money. You guys need to stop acting like idiots and know that's what the plan was going into the fight. Also, Beam, what did Crawford say? What did Crawford say when Spence offered him a fight when he said, let's do the fight, I'll give you 60-40? Crawford said, no, hell no, no thanks. Crawford said, I'll give you 60-40. How come you guys don't bring that shit up? And also, today, Bob Arum just did
that proves Spence doesn't
want to
fight him.
What do you mean Spence doesn't want to fight him? He offered the fight, and Crawford said,
he doesn't
want to
fight him.
Even last night, Crawford said he priced himself out of the fight, stupid. What?
That's why he priced himself out of the fight, stupid.
All I know is when Crawford is asked if he wants to fight Spence, he says yes.
Errol Spence is asked if he wants to fight.
I mean, you're going to keep talking over me. Don't make. I'm going to have to raise my voice, and it's going to become a mishmash. When I talk, you stop. When you talk, I stop.
That's how it goes.
Did you not see the
so
post
basically,
last night?
Shut up.
Again, you're going to keep talking over me. You got to let me finish my point. You're making horrible radio right now, bro.
Right. Just shut up.
Okay, go
you're
ahead,
making
Dave,
the
ahead.
Show suck.
Just go ahead and
so
spew your propaganda, and then I'll go ahead.
All right, I'm going to put him on hold, then. Go ahead, Beeb.
When Spence
we're just
was
move
asked
forward.
If he wanted to fight Crawford, he didn't give a definitive answer. He was very, very ambiguous. He was like, maybe. When Crawford was asked, he said yes.
Right.
So what am I supposed to take away from that?
Exactly. That's it. I mean, that's the point, man. It really is. He doesn't want to fight him. You know.
Let him back on now.
I'm not going to let him back on. Robert. 530, you're live. He's going to keep talking over you and keep talking over us and keep talking over us, and it's just you don't understand a word anybody – because he doesn't understand the format. You know what I mean? I talk, he talks. You talk, he talks. One person talks at a time. It's not a free-for-all here because nobody can understand you when people start talking over you. Robert,
hello,
you're live.
Guys. Hello, guys. How are you?
Good.
I want to tell you, I was very disappointed in Kenny Porter's, you know, attitude after the fight. Sean lost to a better fighter. Simple as that. Terrence Crawford, he is difficult to beat. And, you know, he's the number one guy in the division. And I don't think Errol Spence has got the guts to fight him because he said on numerous occasions he doesn't want to fight him.
So what were your thoughts on the fight last night, Robert?
I thought it was a pretty even fight for the first 6 rounds, but 7, 8, and 9, Crawford took it over, and obviously you know what he did in the 10th.
Yeah.
So, and he is the best welterweight out there. I'm going to be interested to see if he signs with anybody or if he does what Canelo's doing and remains a free agent and goes anywhere he wants.
Who do you think is next for Crawford?
Well, you know, it depends on what he does promotion-wise. I would like to see Spence, but I don't think Spence has got the guts to get in there. I would love to see Crawford fight Usyk.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen either.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, PBC is giving Usyk problems because Usyk wants to fight Spence. They don't want him to fight Spence. I don't know what Terrence Crawford's going to do. I hope to God he doesn't re-sign with Top Rank. I hope he either stays a free agent or signs somewhere where somebody can get him fights.
Right.
What did you think about
Kenny Porter, his comments?
Like I texted you, Eric, I think that was one of the most disgusting things to do. You can't – I mean, come on. You say those things behind closed doors. Did you ever see Emmanuel Stewart stand in the middle of the ring and say, Thomas Hitman Hearns, he didn't do what I wanted him to do in training? Hell no. I mean, and good for Sean for retiring, but if I'm Sean, I don't know if I'm going to forgive my dad for pulling that crap in front of a billion people or more on national TV, you know, or, well, he didn't do what I wanted him to do in training and all the garbage he said. That is so low class. I mean, if they have a close relationship after this, I would be very shocked. I mean, you don't put your son under the bus, you know, in his last fight, you know. And maybe Kenny knew it was going to be Sean's last fight. I don't know, but, I mean, that's a horrible thing to leave on the big stage, is your dad putting you under the bus like that. I don't know. I don't know how you forgive something like that.
I have no problem with the stoppage. I just think the wording at the end, what he said, was just misplaced. I think it was. I just don't think it was the right place. I don't think he should have said that to him. I think he should have pulled him aside and talked to him about that.
Right.
Well, you know what, hang on, Robert.
What
I think that – I think it's going to be one of those things that drives there's going to be a wedge there now. I don't think that – because nobody likes to be embarrassed in public, you know – I think that it's going to be one of those things where, you know, they're still going to hang out. They're still going to do their thing, but it's always now that's always going to be between them.
It's going to be guarded. You're going to be guarded now.
Yeah,
and that's always going to be there. And let me say this. If all this stuff is going on in training that you're not happy with, then why didn't you address it?
Well, you know, and two, like my dad said, you know, he said, if that's the way you felt, then why do you let me go through with the fight? You know what I mean? Why did he let him go through with the fight? If he felt he was that ill-prepared for the fight, why did you let him go through with it? You was your trainer and his father and everything. Why did you let him go through it?
And you gotta tell him. You gotta tell him, like, hey, listen, there's something. You're not the same. What's going on here? We can't go into the fight like this and expect to win with your mentality this way. Like, you got to address those things behind, you know, when they arise, so they don't snowball.
I'm not a big fan of fathers being in the corner anyway. I'm not a big fan of that, because you get in trouble like that, or you don't do something, and it's a weird kind of thing. It's a weird relationship that you have to try to keep separate then, and it barely ever works, man. It really does. Go ahead,
right.
Robert, I'm sorry.
You guys have followed boxing just about as long as I have. What do you think Terrence Crawford does? He made it obvious in the press conference last night he's not going to sign with Top Rank. What do you think he does, and who does he sign with anybody?
I don't know. I think B hit the nail on the head when he said he thinks he's just going to be a free agent for a while. And I think that's right. And just figure out, you know, what's, you know.
I couldn't agree more. I think that would be his best option. And that way people have to come to him and offer him fights, you know. I mean, Canelo's got balls. I know you're going to talk about it later, but he cleaned out 168, and now he's going to jump all the way up to cruiserweight. I never saw that coming. I mean, that just blows me away. I figured he'd go up to light heavyweight, but when I read the article about him going to cruiser, I'm like, holy cow. You know, it's like now you talk about a fighter that's got balls. He does.
Who's he fighting, Robert? Who's he fighting?
I don't know. They mentioned some African dude that I've never heard of. So.
Yeah, right. And we do this how long? We do this what? Every day?
Yeah.
Every week we put on a show. You do. Nobody knows who this guy is.
But
right.
But here's the thing. And I said
give me
this,
a break, man.
Here's the thing. And I said it's this Thursday. Fun. I said this Thursday on the roundtable. First of all, the guy's ranked number two by Ring Magazine at cruiserweight. He's ranked number two by BoxRec. There's a lot of people in that division that aren't known because it's not a popular division. And a lot of fighters in that division are Eastern Europeans or the Europeans. There's not a the best fighters in that division aren't American. So a lot of Americans aren't going to know. You have guys like Robert Garcia saying, and who else said this? Buddy McGirt, two world-class trainers said, I don't even know who the champions are in the cruiserweight division. So that's the thing. Like, people don't know the division, and that's okay. But it's not – it's like, let me ask you this. How come David Benavidez or none of these other guys are moving up to cruiserweight? Why isn't Bivol moving up to cruiserweight?
Because there's no money there. There's no money there. There's no
exactly.
money there.
Exactly.
Boxing with Sean said McAboo fought Bellew. Come on. McAboo got starched by Bellew in three rounds. He was out on his feet
Bellew
in that
went
fight.
Life and death for three rounds.
He did
though.
Not go life and death. Did
that
you watch that fight? Did you watch that fight?
I did.
Did you
six
watch
times.
That fight?
Six times. It's on my DVR.
It's six times. It's on your DVR. G-Style, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
But nobody knows the cruiserweight division. So – it doesn't matter who he was going to fight. Everyone, no matter who he fought at cruiserweight, everyone would be saying, I don't know who the guy is. Not a lot of people know who Brides is. Not a lot of people know Okoli. Okoli won a WBO title against, you know, someone that – who did Okoli win his title off? No one even knows.
You know what?
So it's a very low-profile division. Doesn't mean it's a bad division.
No,
the best two fighters in the division moved up to heavyweight.
But if you wanted to have a solid competition to see if you are the best, that guy is not the guy you fight. Bredis or Okoli. Okoli would have been a much bigger draw. You're talking about money wise. You put that fight in England. That's a huge draw. It's a huge draw.
Yep.
But do you think that Okoli could beat McAboo? It would be a good fight. You can't say, like, McAboo is considered a better cruiserweight than Okoli is. He's considered the second best fighter in the division.
BoxRec has Raees Aleem ranked number 11 in his division.
I know, but Ring Magazine and BoxRec both have him ranked at number.
What does Ring Magazine have Raees Aleem at?
I think maybe six or something.
I just don't understand the move, guys. Am I crazy? I mean, he said after the plant fight, well, I'm going to stay at 168, you know, and that's what he told everybody. So why all of a sudden do you move up to 190, I guess, which is the weight, you know? Why do you do that?
Raees Aleem's ranked number 7 by the ring. Sorry, not 6.
Come on. Aaron Daly, thank you so much. He said, pie bet on Canelo Macabu. He was Macabu to win. Look at that. Aaron Daly. Aaron Daly throwing his hat in the ring there. Philly Drew says Macabu's a C-level fighter and got knocked out in 2 rounds by a C-level fighter.
Three rounds.
Give him some credit.
Be accurate. Be accurate about it.
Come on, Philly Drew. Give him some credit.
It was
credit.
A tough 3 rounds too. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Breedis probably would beat Macabu in my opinion. I'm not sure if Okoli would beat Macabu.
Okoli, from the eye test, it looks like Okoli would beat Macabu. Yeah.
Have you seen Okoli? He's got power, but he's very raw, very green.
And that's why I think it would have been a better fight for Canelo. Better fight for him.
I know, but he's fighting for the green belt. He had to get special permission from the WBC.
And he also had to get special permission to fight at 190 pounds. Because this is 200
like
pounds.
But we don't know if that's the case yet. We don't know yet.
What do you mean we don't know? Yes, we do know. What are you talking about? It's done.
Is it definite?
190 pounds is their new cruiserweight division.
Yeah, that's what they're
doing. Now Macabu has to not only fight Canelo, okay, where the judges are going to be, you know, and listen, man, it's tough to beat Canelo anywhere, all right, because of the judges and everything.
I don't like the
tough.
190.
He's got to go down to 190. So he's won this belt, and now he's, you know, he hasn't fought in quite a while. I know Macabu hasn't fought in a while. So then he's got to lose 10 pounds. So he's been fighting cruiserweight.
Now
he's got to lose 10 pounds and fight Canelo.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Stop it.
I would have liked the fight a lot better if the fight was at 200 pounds. Like, Canelo can come in at 180. Hey, listen. Macabu is going to come in at 215. How much weight do you think? He'll be coming about 215.
No, in the fight.
How much weight do you think he'll put on?
No, because he would have to put on 25 pounds.
No, he'll probably come in at about
200. Maybe 205. Yeah, 205.
Canelo will probably walk into the ring at what, 182?
Maybe.
He's still going to be giving up a significant amount of weight. But I don't like the 190. I don't like it.
No, I don't either.
But Macabu's got power, bro. You got to watch out for that.
All right, Robert, we're gonna get moving here.
All right,
we got some phone calls, man. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for calling.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
Yeah, hit that like button, people. All right, let's see here. Let me see if this works here, Beeb. So we're gonna find out here. This is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the Black Friday deal coming up. Here we go.
This holiday season, take 25% off during Manscaped's Black Friday sale. From grooming gifts that will make him smell incredible to skin-safe trimmers that will have him feeling smooth, you can find the perfect gift for any man on your holiday shopping list. So what are you waiting for? Make sure Manscaped is under your tree and your stockings are stuffed full of great gifts. Go to manscaped.com today and save 25% off site-wide plus free shipping.
Wow.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Did you see the way that girl was looking at me?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How did you get Lois to do that for us?
Man, did you see the way that girl was looking at me, son?
That was
great. Yeah, she was wrapping that gift up for me. You know what I'm saying?
Did you call Lois when a couple days ago when I was around? How did you get Lois to do that for us? That was incredible. Thank you, Lois.
Man.
Thanks, Lois, for doing that.
Don't forget the special code. Got to have the special code, Beeb. Ringside Reporter for 20% off plus free shipping, Beeb. Plus free shipping. What are you going to do?
I can't believe you got Lois to do that for us.
Oh, it's unbelievable, right? Lois. Lois is a blow-up doll, son. That was a real
woman. Stop!
It's a real woman. Come on.
Stop it.
She's a blow-up doll. Everybody knows. 20% off free shipping with Ringside Reporter at manscaped.com. There you go. That was pretty cool, huh?
Nice.
Yeah.
There Lois you go. Her hair. Lois dyed her hair since your aunt's on. She has the different
hair. Lois dyed her hair.
I want to watch that again.
I know. I do, too. I can watch that for a while here.
I'm going to timestamp that. Oh, shit.
845, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's Brian.
Brian, what's happening?
You got a new phone, Brian? 845. What's this, the bat phone?
This is burner phone from Cricket.
Well, you know, I lost my phone, man. I had to get a new number. You know, they gave me a New York area.
You lost your phone?
So.
You couldn't keep the same number?
Yeah. Well, I had the same, you know, my phone just messed up on me, and I had to get a whole new phone when I was out there on the road, so. I had to get this phone when I was in New York. They gave me this crazy area code. Everybody think I'm a telemarketer when I'm getting. But, yeah, lock me in. That's my number. Lock me in. But
all right, you are locked
in. Hey, man, let's talk some boxing, man. Hey, I ain't going to lie to you guys. I done spent a grip on boxing this year. It's adding up, man. I think I done spent $1,000 or something. I don't know. It's adding up.
I'm writing this off on my taxes at the end of the year, man. Fuck that.
Me too.
I think I got both of you guys beat. I ordered that damn Evander Holyfield fight. Did you guys?
I ordered it too, man.
I don't feel so
Eric
bad.
Can pretend
okay.
He didn't order it, but he did.
But I ain't gonna lie. You know,
he gonna sit up there and pretend he didn't order, but I know he did.
I know I did. I can't believe I did that. I mean, besides,
I called
that
him up
fight,
the night of the
you know,
fight. I heard
her
playing
fight,
in the background.
You know, besides that one fight, you know, all the other fights, they've been, you know, pretty much worth my money though. You know, that fight last night, it was good. It didn't have a good undercard, but main event was definitely
terrible,
man. I was like, oh my God, man. What should I do until the main event? I had to find something to do. Like, man, let's go to the movies or something. And then, you know, by that time, we should be on the main event. But, I mean, that was a good fight, man. You know, Terrence Crawford, he ain't no joke. I mean, I ain't going to say, you know, I know people going to get offended. People so sensitive if I say he pound for pound number one. So, you know, they're going to be like Canelo, I get it. But Crawford is definitely the most talented boxer right now, man, in my opinion. I mean, what you guys think? He definitely, to me, is the most talented. He can do everything good, you know.
I mean, it's hard to argue against it when you look at the eye test, man.
Yeah, it really is. Last night, I mean, to do something that nobody else has done, you know, that was pretty impressive.
And then, you know, he's a skinny dude, you know what I'm saying, but he's strong. You know, nobody probably thinks that he's as strong as he is, you know, and he was pushing Sean Porter back. I was like, Earl Spence wasn't really pushing him back like Terrence Crawford, and Terrence Crawford was using angles. He was like a martial artist. He was like Bruce Lee, man.
Strong,
he was like
a strong
Bruce
guy.
Lee. Whenever he hit him in the corner like that,
no,
I was like, ooh,
yep.
That was nice. He was like using martial arts on him. Man, Terrence Crawford is a G, man. I know everybody, you know, it's probably going to be people, Earl Spence, but I'm telling you, man, I think Terrence Crawford will give it to Earl Spence all day. All day, man. Definitely. But
would you think
you
of
know,
your main Spence,
question.
Man, after the fight?
Yeah, would you think of Spence after the fight?
Would you think of your man Spence bolting out of there at the end of the fight?
I didn't know what to make of that. I thought he was going to get up there. They was going to, you know, he was going to get in the ring. They was going to say something. I was like, why are you leaving now? You know, what are you leaving for? What happened? You know, I didn't know what to make of it. I think he should have got up in there and you know, said something. But
either Tarver or Bernard Hopkins said that he should have gotten the center of the ring, and he said that would have sold 1 billion pay-per-views, man. He said that was his time to get in the ring right there. challenge him right there with the two of face-to-face. That's the next fight that's going to happen. And,
he
just completely missed it.
Now?
He doesn't want to do
why
it.
Why he running now,
he doesn't
man?
Want
it.
It
don't look good. It just didn't look right. But I wonder what's going to happen with Terrence Crawford now because he let Bob Arum in Top Rank go, right?
For the most part, I mean, listen, man, I mean, he can go, he may go fight to fight, you know, but, you know, yeah, I think that his best move is probably going to be to switch toward that PBC side. That's where everybody is. That's where you can get the biggest money fights.
But
whether he signs a contract or not, that I don't know.
How many years now has Terrence Crawford been a welterweight? How long has it been?
I don't know. Been a while. It really hasn't been that long, has it, Beeb?
A couple of years.
I want
right?
to say
because he unified 140.
What was it? 2000? Let me move up. 2019, 2018,
something like that. Maybe. I don't know.
Let's see how long he's been a welterweight, man.
This the first time.
I think that's Jeff Horn fight.
But this is the first time he really made some noise or at least got a big fight. You know what I'm saying? This whole time he's been in that division, you know. I mean, do you guys agree or disagree? He fought Jeff Horn, Kell Brook, Amir Khan. But, I mean, this was a pretty big one.
2018,
dude. I mean, in my right of way.
Yeah. I figured that, yeah. It's been a welterweight for about 3 years, man.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but you know that's the thing is like you know he's been in this division right? He's been you know we've seen how talented Terrence Crawford is, but you know they was talking about Lomachenko is the next Muhammad Ali. I mean it's like they should have been promoting Terrence Crawford better. I know everybody be saying these fighters they need to talk and they need to do that, but that's why they pay for a promoter, and you know when they didn't. Bob Arum was the one that was saying Lomachenko better than Muhammad Ali. I mean, come on, man. We knew that was some bullshit. But he was building his fighter up, you know. And then with Terrence Crawford, he was talking the opposite, you know. I just don't
yeah,
like
I
how
think
they
that,
did
you know,
Terrence
I think that's
Crawford
the other thing is
there.
That Bob Arum not too long ago said that he can't promote Spence or can't promote Crawford.
Right.
Because he's just not a likable guy. He's not necessarily a likable guy, but he's just not. He doesn't want to do interviews. He's very hard to promote, you know, this and that.
Right.
And, you know, maybe it's best for him to go a separate way. So now when he does try to go a separate ways, all of a sudden he's got the Josh Taylor fight. Now he's got a billion big fights for him.
Right.
Listen, I think he needs to get away from Top Rank because Top Rank did nothing for him.
Nothing. I mean, at least at that welterweight division, they didn't do nothing up until now. You know, it's been a few years that he's been in that division, and it's like, okay, now they're doing something. They kind of did them cold and silent over there, man. You know, that's why this was a good win for him, because it definitely solidifies him as, in my opinion, the number one welterweight. You know, everybody I know, they can get mad and cry, oh, Errol Spence is the best. I don't give a damn about none of that. Terrence Crawford is the number one middle or welterweight, man. You know what I'm saying? He is.
Yeah.
And, but what direction is he going to go from here? That's a good question, too, you know. Where is he going to go? And I don't like what Kenny Porter did, neither. I don't like that shit. I didn't agree with it.
Nobody likes it except
Jason.
I'm glad
you guys didn't agree.
Yeah, Jason loves it.
Jason loves that,
that
he put his son on blast in front of everybody.
Yeah, see, it would have been different if he would have stopped it, and then we wouldn't have known none of that, you know, that stuff he was talking about, you know, that he made public. They could have stopped, you know, he could have stopped it, been silent, talked to him man to man, like, look, man, you wasn't right, okay? You know, you wasn't right in the camp, whatever. But he was kind of, to be honest, putting him on blast beforehand, too. If you listen to some of the interviews before the fight, you know, it was very telling. You know what I'm saying? And then he says that
right after the fight, and then it kind of makes the stoppage. Who was that? Maestro got on here. He was right. It kind of makes the stoppage look suspect, you know, and how he did it, because it's all hand in hand. He stopped the fight, and then he gets up there and says this. It's like, I told you. It's kind of like, I told you. You know, it's like, man, I think he should have at least gave us a regular trainer, okay? I mean, I get where he's coming from as a father. I'm a father myself, okay? But as a trainer, I think he should have just gave him, he should have, you know, trusted in his fighter just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That's where you just got to trust in your fighter. He's not hurt like that. Yeah, okay, he would have got stopped. Maybe. We ain't know them. We don't know the future. We ain't Miss Cleo. You know, call me now. We don't do that shit. But it's like, you know, he should have gave him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I think so, because he wasn't hurt like that. He should have gave him the benefit of the doubt at least. You know, and that's just as a champion and just out of respect for what Sean Porter's done. You know, especially if that's going to be his last one, let him go out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying for him to get his fucking head knocked off and it's over, but just, man, you know, he regrouped, give him a strategy, you know, and tell him to just be more tight on his defense, because when he was getting caught, he was getting anxious. You guys seen that? When Sean Porter started to get too anxious, he was getting caught.
Yeah, we said that.
You know?
We said that he was getting fighting with desperation.
Yeah.
Right. So he could have, you know, he could have just tied him up, slowed it down, and just, hey, son, slow down. You know what I'm saying? Just stay tight on your defense. It wasn't like he was just getting blasted out of there for him to just throw. I didn't like the stoppage. I mean, I'm cool with it. Don't get me wrong. I'm cool. I ain't going to sit here and talk shit about it. But me personally, when it happened, I didn't like it, especially when after he started saying that shit. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't like it. It left a bad taste in my mouth, you know?
Absolutely. All right, Brian, man, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it. Yeah, I agree with him. I agree 100% with him.
Brian, text me with your new number so I can log into my phone, bro.
There it is. Let's see here. 508.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Georgie.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
Low energy, Georgie. Sorry, man, how are you?
Listen, we got to go through fucking P. Diddy, Kenny Porter. Always up on the picture. Always on the video. Always making it about himself. Always wanting the fucking spotlight. Don't say that he's retiring now, right?
Yes.
All right. So that means...
Yes.
So that Wake also up. Means that Kenny Porter is retiring.
Is that his only fighter? Yeah, Sean is his only fighter, right?
I think he's got someone else. I'm trying to remember the guy's name.
The
comment, fighter.
After the comment that he made about his own son, would you let him train you? Because you know he's going to put you on fucking blast.
No. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a bad look, man.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
So we can say goodbye to Kenny Porter. At least something came out fucking good out of the whole situation. Shout out to Crawford. He proved me wrong. He looked mad strong in there, though. He looked big.
I said that.
I thought Sean would have looked a little bigger, though. Wow.
He was much bigger. Yeah, Crawford was much bigger.
He looked really big. I don't know, man. It's like all of a sudden he grew or something. It was weird to my eyes because I thought Sean would look a little more bulky and about the same size, but if there was a size difference. Now that he's talking about moving to 154, listen, Boom Boom Mancini said that two-weight division is two fucking cups of water, 10 pounds. 147, 160, baby, 13 pounds. That's not that much. That kind of fight can happen. That truly is greatness right there. If Crawford do that shit, wow. That's right there with Muhammad Ali, right there.
Yep.
Am I wrong?
No, I mean, it's like they were talking about Spence fighting Canelo, so why can't they talk about
Spence the one that smoked? Did you see he came out? They showed him on TV. As soon as he knocked out Porter, he walked out. What that mean?
He left. He broke out.
He left. That was a bad look right
off,
there.
Man.
He left
it's just off. Because Crawford beat Porter better than he did. It bothered him.
Yeah. Competitive guy.
He should have faked it out. Fake the funk, baby. Fake the funk. Just don't get up and walk away because you're telling everybody you really don't want that smoke.
Yeah.
He fucked up. Like his stock went down right there with the public. At least on my eyes, shit. He looked like he didn't want none of that. And now Crawford is in a position that he can say whatever the fuck he want to say and people will believe him. Spence, when he came out with the whole eye injury and shit, didn't most of the experts say that shit would take like a year for you to recuperate?
Yeah, but he's saying he's back in camp. He's saying he's gonna try and fight in March. That's what he said when Ellie Setback was talking to him after the fight.
I don't know. When Hopkins came out, Hopkins being around the ring for a long time, he being in the business for a long time. When Hopkins came out talking about a Spence injury, doubting it so quick, because when B-Hop came out talking about that, he came out like the next day quick, like, what the fuck you know, B-Hop, that we don't know? And now that reaction that I see from everyone, shit, I don't know. Somebody got to come out from the PBC side to fucking make their 147 fighters legit. Because now, like, the balance has tilted to Crawford. Now everybody's starting to believe Crawford always wanted to fight. And the PBC were blocking. That's what I see. I don't know. Probably I'm wrong, but who knows. Everybody support the channel. I got to go donate. Oh, by the way, who challenged you for the fucking Canelo fight, Eric? From the UK.
Who
Daly?
Yeah, Aaron Daly. I think it was Aaron Daly. Yeah, you're on.
Yeah,
you're on.
Challenged.
I'll take that.
He donated.
I'll take that.
He got a donation.
Yeah.
So
what's up?
You taking the challenge
bet.
Or what?
Yeah, I'll take that bet all day.
All right. So
you know
starting.
I don't lose bets, son.
Lou, you got a great record. You'll be playing in my face many, many times. Can't talk shit. But like I say, everybody support. I got to go. I'm out.
All right, Georgie.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There you go. All right, let's move forward here. We got, before we go back to the phones here, the undercard here, Esquiva Falco versus Patrice Volney. Falco wins by a technical decision. That was a headbutt. Yeah, it is what it is. Like, who cares? Aleem Hanala, I believe that's how you. I think it's Beeb. Is this right? Janabek Aleem Hanala. I think that's how they pronounce it.
I believe so. Yes.
Wins by an 8th round TKO. He looked good, but he looked a little left hook happy. He throws a little bit too much. I'd like to see him mix it up a little bit. Raymond Muratala versus Elias Arahu. Muratala wins by 5th round TKO. Again, the undercard was the drizzling, you know what there. On that pay-per-view. On the zone, Demetrius Andre versus Jason Quigley. Andre wins by TKO in the 2nd round. Quigley, I tell you what, was never in this fight. Andre was just much stronger, just better fighter. I mean, just there really wasn't much to, you know, dissect here. Now, as far as who Andre was going to fight next, who knows? I think he's having trouble getting fights. I think he's one of those guys that nobody wants to fight, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, though. Centurion Sun said, who would I rather have in my corner, Kenny Porter or Angel Garcia?
Kenny.
I think Kenny knows a little bit more boxing. Kenny is, you know, after what he showed last night, barring last night, everybody called Kenny Porter a great trainer and everything like that, and I don't think that changes over one night. I think there's a lot of emotion going on there when you watch your son get battered like that, so, you know, well, give him the benefit of the doubt for a little bit again. I don't excuse it. I don't think he should have done it, but I mean, I get you know, a little bit more where he's coming from. Julio Cesar Martinez on the undercard of Andre Quigley versus McWilliams Arroyo. Fight went two rounds. It was an accidental headbutt. Went to be a no contest. Across the pond, Tim Zhu versus Takashi Inoue. Zhu wins by unanimous decision 120-107 twice and 119-108. After the fight, man, Tim Zhu called out Brian Castano, which I thought was pretty odd, but yeah, I think that's a really good fight. That's a solid fight, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to the upcoming fights here. So next week we have from Jalisco, Mexico, on DAZN, Erica Cruz versus Melissa Esquivel, 10 rounds for Cruz's WBA women's featherweight title. Angel Fierro versus Christian Bialema, 10 rounds lightweights. On the 27th, on DAZN, from New York, Madison Square, Teofimo Lopez versus George Kambosos Jr. for Lopez's undisputed lightweight championship. The undercard is leaves a lot to be desired, let's just put it that way, but at least it's not on pay. Also on the 27th, on Showtime, Brandon Figueroa versus Stephen Fulton for the WBC junior featherweight and Fulton's WBO junior featherweight. That's going to be a really good fight. Friend of the show, Rais Aleem, we just saw him at the top of the show, versus Eduardo Baez, 10 rounds junior featherweights, and Gary Antonio Russell versus Alejandro Santiago, 10 rounds bantamweights. And that's it for next week. Beeb, who do you like in the Figueroa-Fulton fight?
I like Fulton.
I like Fulton, too. I think Figueroa gets hit too much. I think Figueroa is going to pressure him, but I think Fulton's got the style to deal with that kind of pressure.
I think the defense would be a big problem in that fight.
Yeah, I think so too. And then, of course, we think Rais Aleem is going to win. I think he's going to knock Baez out. I really do. I think he's the best guy in that division. I think it just is. You know, he's the best one in that division. I really believe that. So there you go. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. The big news this week was Canelo is making a move to cruiserweight. Canelo Alvarez is making the move to cruiserweight to face WBC champion Ilunga Makabu. The fight will be at 190 pounds, not 200 pounds. 190 is the new weight for WBC cruiserweights. Beeb, we talked about this a little before. I don't like this fight. I said it earlier in the week. We did a show on it. I don't like this fight at all. I think this fight is, you know, number one, you're going to make this guy cut 10 pounds, which is not chump change. And yeah, you know what, this guy is going to be one of those guys who's, you know, he's going to take that payday. This is going to be the biggest payday he's ever gotten. But this is largely, to me, if they didn't think he could win, they wouldn't be taking this fight. So really, what does it say? They want him to be a five-time world champion or whatever. What's it say, really, if he takes the belt off this guy?
Well, my argument is, Who can beat Canelo right now, regardless of what weight class? Like, who would win? Who would be a bet? Like, is Benavidez really a tougher challenge than this guy? I think Benavidez gets stopped in six rounds.
Really? You think so?
Oh yeah.
I think I would rather see that fight. I would rather see Charlo or Benavidez fight rather than him fight this guy.
Would Charlo beat him? No. I
don't think anybody's going to beat him right now. But there are definitely better fights than this guy out there is what I'm saying.
I think there's fights that people want to see more than this. There's no question about that.
No question.
I can't argue against that. But I just don't think that this guy – I mean, this guy's going to lose. But you can't – in my opinion, I think it's hard for me to envision Charlo or Benavidez doing better – against Canelo than this guy would do. I just think this is a tougher fight than those. I think this fight is tougher than a Charlo fight and tougher than a Benavidez fight, in my opinion.
You think
because
so?
Because we don't, absolutely. More dangerous. This guy's a power puncher.
He's going to be a naturally big guy, but the fact that he's making him cut 10 pounds.
Yeah. Charlo's looked human before. Benavidez has looked human before. They both have.
Makabu's been looked human before.
Yeah, they both don't have the greatest resumes. I think Canelo beats Beterbiev. I think Beterbiev doesn't have the greatest defense in the world. I don't think he's the fastest guy in the world. To me, you know, the toughest fight for Canelo is Zerto Ramirez. I think
that's
a
good
very,
one. Jesus.
So you want to talk about tough fights?
Yeah.
I think the Zerto Ramirez fight, in my opinion, is a pick'em fight right now, in my opinion.
That's a good fight. That's a really good fight. And you know what? That fight doesn't come off. You know why? because he's with Golden Boy, isn't he?
Golden Boy Fighter.
Yeah, he ain't coming off. Centurion says Beeb is the Congo's ambassador now. There you go. There you go.
You know who you want me to be. I'll be it.
Area code 443, Baltimore. You're live.
Yeah, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Good. Who are we speaking with? Yes, who are we speaking with?
Troy. Yeah.
What's up, Troy?
I know it was Troy. I know Coach C, I'll tell you that. I know Coach C ain't never calling back here, son.
How you been, Troy? How you been?
I've been good. I didn't hear a word you just said, man. But I was listening to the whole thing about Canelo. I want to say that Crawford, you know, very good fight, very good fight. I don't agree with the stoppage because Porter's eyes were clear, you know. His eyes were clear. He knew where he was. If he would have got dropped again, the fight would have been stopped. Would have been a TKO. I just don't think his dad really trusted his manhood in that situation, and he stepped up and cut him short, right? So that was a very good fight. Now, everybody that's saying Alvarez is taking an easy touch to cruiserweight, how is it that 168-pounder is jumping up fighting a 200-pounder, and that's easy touch? And all those guys throwing out the names Charlo, Benavidez, and Boo Boo, why don't they fight each other and then jump up and fight? And then whoever wins and the winner fight better jump up and fight David Benavidez instead of complaining about what Charlo's not doing. Makes no sense to me. Instead of complaining about what Alvarez is ducking and carrying on. Can you still hear me?
I agree.
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
It's a good point.
I agree. I think they're all waiting for the Canelo sweepstakes.
Right, that lotto
fighting tickets. Each other.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the biggest. Listen to me. How is it that one man can control three men's careers? Why are you sitting still waiting on one man when you should be building your own? The truth is that David Benavidez does not belong at 178. That's why he was getting pushed around by the smaller man. He probably walks around at 215. He needs to move to light heavyweight and get all of those belts and then do a big old Cinco de Mayo fight with Alvarez. That would be great, wouldn't it? That would
be
a great fight.
Yeah,
you got the man at 175. He's undisputed. He's Mexican. You got the man at 168. He might not come back down, but, you know, he got the man at 168. He's undisputed. He's Mexican. That'll be a huge fight for Cinco de Mayo. Charlo and Andres need to fight each other. You all are at 160. Stop whining and complaining about one man and these fans with their, whoa, I can't stand that anymore. Oh, he ducked Charlo. He ducked Boo Boo. They're in the same blasted weight class ducking each other. Oh, my God. I just can't stand the ignorance in boxing anymore. You got two champs. One of them is 31-0 and 32-0, and they're not fighting each other? Why not?
Crazy.
That's it, man. Hey, man, you know, I see you bought a shirt.
What's this?
Did you hear me?
I bought a shirt?
No, not you. You know, the other guy, he was on the live last time. He didn't have on a shirt, so I told him to buy a shirt.
Oh, B was on there without a shirt. It was laundry day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. He's taking a jig, but that's cool. That's cool. You can take a jig. That's all right. We'll let you do that.
All right, Troy, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Phoenix here. 520, you're live.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
So, guys, this is George from Off the Ropes, Boxing MMA. Just want to comment, I guess, on the fight yesterday. I watched it the first time, and I was just like everybody else, a little confused as to why it was stopped. I didn't agree with it, so I was, you know, I was kind of back and forth with it, trying to figure out, trying to watch the fight again. in the first fight, well, the first time I watched it, I had Crawford up by one round going into the 10th. And I agree that from the 7th round on, Crawford started to figure out Porter. You could see those body shots were starting to pay dividends in for Crawford. But when I watched it the second time with the knockdown, and I actually had another buddy of mine watch it with me, and we both agreed that that really wasn't a bad stoppage. It looked like the second time, Porter struggled. He looked like he struggled a little bit to get up on that second knockdown. And I guess being his father in the corner, I'm sure played, a pretty big role as well. And, a decision on if he should let his son go out, because we all know that Crawford is a great finisher. He's a very good finisher. And, I don't think Kenny wanted to see Sean get finished in that kind of fashion. It would have been pretty bad. And then also, I was listening to like a couple other blogs and podcasts, and they were even mentioning maybe Crawford even going after Triple G. Like I guess a matchup that could be made, or that would be a pretty good matchup, because, you had Canelo going at Kovalev at 175. That would kind of be Crawford's Kovalev at 154, 160. I mean, what do you guys think of that?
I think it would be good. Triple G's got to get past Ryota Murata here in December.
Yeah.
Which I don't think for him is going to be an easy task. I'll be honest with you. That fight's in Japan. It's, December 29th, I believe, they always have a big fight on New Year there.
Like New Year's Eve or some shit.
Yeah, something like that. And, Triple G didn't look that good in his last fight. If he does happen to get past Murata, I think that's a fight I would make. I mean, because that's a fight, that's one of those fights, that's a very winnable fight against a guy who has a very big name. You go up and you get a title from that, yeah. If it can happen, but a lot of things have to fall into place for that to happen.
Yeah, totally agree with that. You're right. And I agree with that as well. Murata's not going to be an easy walk in the park, and we've seen, the decline of Triple G. He still has the power. The power is there. The IQ is still there, but, the age is starting to finally show a little bit. And it's going to be a tough fight. And I honestly wouldn't mind seeing that if Triple G was to get by for Crawford. That would be the big name. That would be him coming up at a different division to win against a big name like Triple G. And I think that's a very winnable fight.
Yeah.
So I
think so too. I think he definitely wins that fight.
And I guess one more too, just back to Boo Boo. I know for me, for like the last couple of years, I've always believed that Canelo and Boo Boo was the fight to be made. And I still kind of believe that. I still kind of believe that would be the fight to be made. I don't really see Charlo, Benavidez. Benavidez would be a good tough fight too, but I still think he's just a little bit green still, in my opinion, to give Canelo that tough fight. And Zurdo is actually a really good one as well. I think that would be a tough one, man. Be a really tough fight for Canelo.
Very good. All right, George, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call, man. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Good stuff from Phoenix, baby. From Phoenix, daddy. Phoenix.